October 7th, 2018. Brother Theodore Turner. Title is Now is the Day of Salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says, We then, as workers together with him, beseech ye also, that ye receive not the gospel of God in vain. Now that means empty. You should not receive the gospel of God in vain. Verse 2 says, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You need to get saved today. You may not have another chance. This may be the only time you're ever going to have a chance to get saved. You might walk out that door and find out that you're in an accident, that you've been killed, and you won't have another chance to get saved. So now is the day of salvation, just like it says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. It's very important to repent. Part of repentance and accepting Jesus is that we have to accept Jesus. We have to believe that he's there. We have to publicly confess that we've accepted Jesus. We have to repent of our sins, and we have to be sorrowful for those sins. Let me read you something about real repentance and sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11 says this, For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. In other words, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. You don't have to repent of that because you're sorrowful, because you sinned and you want to have salvation. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. That's not the kind of sorrow that you're going to have. But the verse here says, But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Verse 11 says, For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. We're going to talk about how they were clearing their sins. Now let me read these ones. Ye clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation. He's talking about clearing yourself from indignation. Yea, what fear. Clearing yourself from fear. That means repenting from it. Yea, what vehement desire. Repenting from your vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Repenting from zeal to do the wrong things. Yea, what revenge. Repenting from revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. In other words, you need to repent and make sure you're clear of these things, and you don't need to bring them back. You need to ask God to help you to solve these problems. You need to ask God to help you learn how to pray. And if you have sin in your life, you can always go back. And 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've heard of some people that try to quit drinking and getting seriously drunk, and they may go back to it after being real good off for a long time, but then you have to ask God to forgive you for it and try again. Many times God will give you a special strength to where you can just sometime give that up, whether it's drinking, drugs, or whatever it is. The problem with sin is this. It gets between us and God. Let me read the verse, Isaiah 59. Verse 1, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That's why we need to turn back to 1 John 1:9 as often as we may do something wrong. Because it says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's very important that we do this. I want to read in Romans 10, verse 8 through 13. This is basically the plan of salvation, what you have to do right from the Bible to make sure you're right with God. Romans 10, 8, it says, What saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, For with the heart man believeth with righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's very important to know that whenever we call upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved. And you have to believe that God saves you. Another verse is Romans 1:16, talks about salvation to all that believe. Now I want to read this, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. See, it says here, to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith it is written, they shall live by faith. They're talking here about the people that believe in the name of Jesus and ask God to save them and to protect them and keep them safe. 2 Timothy 1:7 helps us to understand about being safe. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Many of us fear that we've done something wrong or that God's going to be upset with us. Now this here talks about the spirit of fear, which actually means dread. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, and that is dread. But he has given us but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think this is one of the most important verses that I've ever heard before. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It's so important that we keep asking God all the time to help us and not worry that we're not saved. In Romans 10:13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is not very hard to get saved. You can ask God in so many different ways to save you. John 1:12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's talking about how we must believe on the name of Jesus, and then we'll be saved. Acts 2:21 also says how easy it is to get saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not very complicated. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's important that we ask God to save us and that we trust in him to save us. And we shouldn't be fearful of it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Today is the day of salvation. You can get saved. Real repentance and sorrow is important. If you've been doing things in your life that are wrong, you need to remember 2 Corinthians 7:10 through 11. It talks about, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Verse 11 says, for behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. In other words, people were careful to try to clear themselves of all these sins. Indignation, fear, vehement desires, zeal, revenge, and all things, they cleared themselves and asked God to help them. Another verse that's important is Acts 2:38. It says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift. I want to read another verse in Ephesians 1:13, talking about salvation and how people were sealed. In whom ye also trusted, after they ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the important part of this verse. After that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Have you ever seen someone get a document and they want it sealed? They have to take a seal, special seal, someone does it, that has the authorization to do it, and they stamp that thing, and it's sealed. It's indelibly sealed in them, in that document, that it's sealed. And it says the Holy Spirit seals us. In other words, once you're saved and you've asked Jesus to forgive you, you get sealed by the Holy Spirit. He stamps you. In some places it says, and the name of Jesus will be written in the foreheads of some people. Jesus said in John 10:29, I want to read you this. If you're worried about getting lost, Jesus isn't going to let you get lost. It says in one place that once you get saved, even if you really screw up, maybe everything you did will be burned, but you yourself will be saved. John 10:29 says, "My Father," this is Jesus talking, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I want to read that again. John 10:29. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." John 10:28 says this. And Jesus is talking again. "And I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You understand, it just says eternal life? That means 200 years from now, you're going to be here somewhere, either heaven or in the other place some people call hell. 500 years from now, you'll be here. 1,000 years from now, you'll be here. And any of your relatives who are saved will be here with you. That's eternal life. Eternal means all the time, not just partway. We can't be fearful once we've done everything we should. We need to just rest in the Lord. And we don't need to keep fearing. And we know that the Lord is there to take care of us. And sometimes, when I get afraid, I start singing songs, even if it's "Jesus Loves Me" or something like that. I just start singing the songs I want to sing. Psalms 56:3-4 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And we all need to be that way. It's obviously very difficult to not fear what someone might do to us. And it seems like in the present day, it's really easy to run into people that want to run you down, want to lie about you, want to do something to you, want to injure you. It's very important to do the things we're supposed to, that God wants us to do, but not get fearful. Psalms 50:14 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." In other words, if you made a vow to God, you need to pay it the best way you can. There's very many vows that we make in this world, but when you make a vow unto God, you need to pay that thing. In Psalms 50:14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." It's very important to trust God and to remember that He's up there. And to quit going back and forth, like one day you're happy, one day you're sad, you don't know what to do. Let me read something here about wisdom and how to make a decision. James 1:8. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that will give to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." James 1:6. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is not like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed." In other words, if you ask God something in faith, like you need a new car, well, don't go out and just keep looking every morning. Get up and go out there and look out the window and say, "God, help me to know how I'm going to get a new car." And don't sit down and say, "Oh, shoot, I'm never going to get that car." That's wavering. Just get up every day and say, "I'm going to get that new car that I need. I need that car to take my mother to the hospital, to take my kids to church." James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the winds tossed." James 1:7 says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you keep going back and forth, saying, oh, I need this, and then I say, oh, I'm never going to get that, that's wavering, and you need to not do that. You need to ask God to help you. Thank you very much for tuning in today. This is Brother Turner, and I hope you can tune in again next day. Time. In Jesus' name, have a good day.